Hey everyone, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Everyone, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm on the Wilder Network. You miss a show here, you miss quite a lot. We always try to have a great show for you, always wonderful and knowledgeable guests right here whenever I can get them. And even if I'm flying solo, this show is always fun, it's always exciting, and it's always informative. Once again, welcome to the show. Grab your family, grab your friends, sit back and relax, and let me do all the work. Once again, welcome to the show. Have fun, everyone.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you for that. I'm broadcasting live from Chicago. It's a beautiful day. It's a gray day, and it's kind of a cold day. And we're putting up with it the best way we can. We have no other choice. We wish a lot of us wish spring would come. But look, it appears to be on hold. But it's a beautiful day. Anytime you wake up and you're alive and you're feeling good and you're feeling great, it's a great day no matter what the weather is outside. But, you know, come to think of it, the National Weather Service is forecasting flooding and a lot of damage for certain parts of the United States this weekend and on into next week probably. So that's kind of scary. That was kind of scary. I mean, you know, the spring is still not has still not sprung so far, but you know, I mean, it's got to get better. It's got to get better, you know. So everybody's we're all waiting to try, and we all want to put on our shorts and short t-shirts and stuff like that. We want to, you know, have spring, but yet it's not here. I don't actually think we've had a spring. At least I'm talking about Chicago. I can't say for other places, but we haven't had a spring yet. And National Weather Services, they're really serious about this. Storms, rains, tornadoes throughout the some parts of the southern half of the United States and Texas. They're looking for storms or maybe tornadoes or something like that. I'm not too privy on it, on most of the stuff, but go check the, you know, your weather service out here and see what they're saying, because this is important, because you're going to need to keep yourself safe in case this does happen, you know. And I do believe that this is the tornado season, you know, and spring brings a lot of that, but spring is such a beautiful time, a wonderful time. I just don't understand, you know, the weather here. The weather just seems like it's whacked out. I'm sorry for those who are out there listening and say, well, he always starts to show off with the weather. Yeah, I think that's a good thing to do, you know, because like I said, I'm recording from my studio, and I'm doing a show, broadcasting the show from my studio, and I have a great big window here. I'm looking out onto the avenue so I can see what's going on. And it's going to be kind of, you know, disappointing that the weekend is going to be a washout. They're saying, at least in Chicago, they're saying tomorrow it's going to be cold, and, you know, then the rains are going to come, and it's going to be pretty bad. So we just have to, you know, gear ourselves up for that. I think starting off with the weather is a good thing, because we want to make sure that everybody's safe and everybody, you know, knows how to be safe from the weather. You know, if one of the things is, if you're having a lot of storms, severe storms, tornadoes, you keep away from the windows. That's what they, you know, that's what they say. That's valid. Or go to the basement. You know, if you have a basement in your home, you go to the basement and hide yourself under some kind of table, strong table. If you have an apartment, you go into your bathroom. That's a safe place from storms. Yeah, that's what I've, you know, and that's true. That is very true. You want to keep yourself safe in these very, very severe weather conditions that they're calling for this weekend, and I believe on into next week, like I've just said. But anyway, this is George Wilder Jr. broadcasting live from Chicago, and I think it's starting to rain a little bit. I think it rained earlier, so maybe it's starting now. Maybe the severe weather is starting to, you know, come now, especially in this city here. So I don't know. But anyway, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. My call-in number is 347-857-1762. And like I said, I always start this show off with the weather, because I think it's important. I think it's very important. And another thing is just that it's such a beautiful day, even though it's a great day. It's a beautiful day. People are out and about doing whatever they're doing. And obviously a lot of them don't even know that I'm sitting here and watching them, you know, and while broadcasting on the radio, internet radio, Black Talk Radio, the Wilder Network. Okay, all right. Let's move right along and move right along and hope the storms doesn't knock me out of the window. Okay, if they should come tonight. All right, so what do we want to do? We talked about weather. Okay, on the show today, we're going to have author Dr. Gary Webb will be on the George Wilder Jr. Show, his book, Prepare, Promote, and Publish. You know, I'm even interested in that, you know, because I am a publisher, I am a writer, but we all can get better. But, you know, if you're out there and you, you know, you want to know how to do this, call into the show and ask questions, you know what I'm saying? And or just sit back and listen. I'm pretty sure he's got a lot of advice, because he seemed like such a knowledgeable guy. His biography is just, you know, impressive. It's very impressive. And I can't wait for him to be on the show. So stick around for that. All righty. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's a dull day. But, you know, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Okay, let's talk about some of the things I have on the screen. Okay, so we know the doctor's going to be here. You know, hopefully, he'll be here. Put down the guns. When I say put down the guns, I'm talking about anybody who has a gun and uses it illegally as to shoot someone. And not just in Chicago, but around the United States and elsewhere. Put down the guns. Put the guns down. Especially if I'm talking to gangbangers and terrorists and all of these people who use a gun illegally to kill people. I have a gun. I mean, but I'm not going to go out here and shoot anybody. Not, you know, illegally anyway. But you got a lot of these guys. And like I said before, summertime is the time when crime rises. And summertime is the time where we got to tell these, you know, these neighborhood thugs to put the guns down. You know, let the kids live. You know, some of these kids have really, really high potential. Some of them have great talent. And we've lost a lot of them like that through senseless, stupid-ass gun violence. Put the guns down. I hope somebody hear me and just echo that throughout the world. But you know what? It probably will not happen, at least not for some. But if one person put the gun down, that's a triumph. If one person did that, you know. But we got to get more people to do that. Wow, somebody almost got hit by a car. This guy was just ran across the street. Seemed like this guy was intending to hit this guy. They work at this pizza place across the street from my studio. Maybe they were just playing and goofing off with each other. I hope so, because we don't want that. But anyway, getting back to putting down the guns, we want to try to lessen as much violence as we can in the United States. Because the world seems like it's just gone haywire. You know, I mean, so we're going to do that. We're going to put down the guns. And we're going to talk about be aware of your surroundings. Okay, you want to keep yourself safe, especially my seniors. Keep yourself safe. Whenever you go out there, it could be seniors or anybody, you know, keep yourself safe. Because this is the time where, like I said, springtime, summer, time where violence increases within the city limits, you know, urban areas. So when you go out, you know, keep yourself safe. Put your cell phones down. And pay attention to your surroundings. Because, I've said this before in many, many, many shows, the bad guy, majority of the time, the bad guy will not accost you or try to do anything to you if he knows that you're paying attention, if he knows that you see him, if he knows that you know that he is there. Because most bad guys, they want to run up behind you because they're going to think that you're going to be unsuspected of him. And that's true. I mean, they caught this guy on the CTAL train. This lady was sitting, was not facing him. You know, she might have been on her cell phone. Who knows? But he came up behind her, knocked her in the head, raped her, from what reports are saying. But if she would have been aware of her surroundings, looked around, noticed him creeping up on her, he didn't have a gun. He wasn't armed, from what I know. She may have not been attacked. Because if she was aware of his surroundings, and if he came too close, she would react. So it's very important when you're out here, pay attention to your surroundings. Put down your cell phones, you know, especially if you're on the train, put down your cell phones. If you're on a train platform, if you're walking down the street, pay attention to your surroundings. Because these guys are big, bad, and bold. They'll come up to you. In some cases, some of them don't even have a gun anymore. They'll threaten you with physical violence. So you have to be aware. Most of the times, if you're aware, they will leave you alone because they'll figure you've got something on you. You're waiting for them. You're going to blow them to hell, you know. But if you're not paying attention to where you're going, you're not paying attention out here in the street, the bad guys know that, they're going to pounce on you. This is why I say pay attention to your surroundings, because crime can happen to anyone, anywhere, at any time. You want to keep yourself safe. Don't make yourself a victim of crime because you're not paying attention to where you are, who is walking in back of you, on the side of you, in front of you. That is so crucial to pay attention, be aware of the people around you. Majority of the time, the people that are around you are good people. They're great people. They're wonderful people. But you never know. That one time, you may really have to pay attention to your surroundings. So that bad guy is over there. He's following you. He's following you away from the AMT machine. I mean, I've had that happen. So be aware of your surroundings and lock your doors. You know, you walk in the house, lock the door behind you. And never let anybody that you don't know in your house, in your apartment, no matter where you are. Never do that, especially if you don't know who they are. If you're not expecting a call, if you're not expecting someone to knock on your door, if you're not expecting company, don't open your door, especially if you're elderly. Don't even say anything. Just pretend like you're not at home or whatever. Keep yourself safe. And I say this to some people, carry protection. Never go out anywhere without carrying some kind of protection, even if it's mace or it's a small knife or something. Carry something. You'll feel a little bit better once you're out there. You know, carry something, but be legal about it. You know, I mean, and if you're going to carry a gun, make sure it's, you know, you have a permit, conceal and carry. You know, a lot of us do not have conceal and carry, but you can still own a gun in the state of Illinois, but you just have to keep it in your house, you know, for protection, protect your family. You know, someone comes through that door, blow them away. But keep yourself safe. Keep yourself safe. That's what it's all about. Because the reason why I have this show, and this is my 68th show. I know it says 66. That was an era. But this is the 68th show. So if there is a conflicting with what's on my page and what's on my screen here, it's the 68th show. So we're just moving right along here, aren't we? We're just moving right along on this show. And I'm so happy that I can come to you Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm hoping I can keep this time spot because it's very convenient for me. And, you know, and everything is very convenient for me. Okay, the smart quiz question is, what are two rights that everyone living in the United States have? It's easy. Like I always say, these questions are based on the Constitution. I mean, if you know the Constitution, then you know the answers to those questions. It's all about the Constitution. Okay? So if you don't know the answers, if you can't call in and give me the answers, or you sit back and you wait for the answers, I will have those answers. Yeah, there's two. I will have those answers for you by the end of the show if I don't get too wrapped up into the show and forget. So the smart quiz question, I always try to have a smart quiz questions every day for my guests because I know I have some smart people who listen and some people who podcast the show and some people who archive the show, and that's wonderful. That's beautiful. That's great. Okay, so we are going to move on, There's another issue in the news, okay? Free college for everybody. Okay, Obama, I believe, brought this up. Free college for everybody, and suddenly he's not talking about it anymore. You know, he brought up this issue. I think it's a great idea, free college for everybody. And then people won't have to be settled with a lot of debt, you know, especially trying to go to school. I mean, I've heard a person, she's around 75 years old, and she's still paying off her college debt. She's still paying it off. And I'm pretty sure that's what's going on with a lot of people around. They're still paying off their college debt after 20, 30, and 40 years. That's not right. That is not right. So I think there should be free college for everyone, and not just a community college or junior college or whatever you want to call it, or a two-year college, but a university. Think of all the countries that have free college. United States is so behind in everything. We have health care for profit. In countries like Canada, you know, it's a non-profit. you know. But here, everything in the United States is for profit. And we are lagging so far behind other countries. Healthcare should be free. To free to anybody who wants it. Totally free. Single payer. Totally. No Medicaid card, no insurance card, none of that stuff. Just walk into your, walk in, see your doctor, and just walk out feeling better without even being charged. That could have happened, but I think Obama and his then chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, I don't think they wanted it. It could have happened. So now they give us Obamacare, the American Cure Act. And it has some flaws. It has some flaws. Some people, they love it. It has flaws. But, you know, I guess some kind of health care is better than none at all. No matter what, it depends on your income. This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm going to take a break right here. I want you to listen to this. I'll be right back. Okay, here we are. I want to talk about this TPP for a little bit. And what I understand, the TPP, I'm getting my words crossed. The TPP is a disastrous trade agreement designed to protect the interests of the largest multinational corporations at the expense of workers, consumers, the environment, and the foundations of American democracy. It will also negatively impact some of the poorest people in the world. And Obama's for this. They're saying that this TPP thing was a fast-track thing, that it was done behind closed doors, that it was done in secret. And how many times Obama's been telling us that, you know, his administration is transparent, you know, and they've done this in secret, as if they didn't want us to know anything about it, just sneak it on by, you know. It's a trade deal. So a lot of people are up in arms about it. A lot of people are protesting it. A lot of people are out in the streets saying, stop this disastrous trade deal. And Obama's trying to go running around trying to get support, and he's running around saying it's not that. He's running around saying that it wasn't rushed through, that it was not fast-tracked. He was not trying to be sneaky with it, you know. But he's saying that, but what he's not saying is it disastrous to poor people? Is it a disastrous trade for middle-class people? He's not saying that. He's trying to think of something positive to say about it. But everybody else, Democrats in Congress, Democrats all over the world, they don't want this. But he's trying to push it through because he feels that it's good for us. It's good for him and his rich buddies. That's what it's good for. Obama is corporate. He's all about Wall Street. That's it. You know, he's not about people. At least I don't think he is. I haven't seen anything he's significantly done for people in general. I'm always hearing things about foreign policy or greeting heads of state at the White House, in the White House. I'm not hearing anything out here that he's doing for grassroots people. And this bill, this trade deal, is a bad thing for America, from what I'm saying, from what I'm reading, from what I'm hearing. Because I'm not in his circle, so I don't really know what's going on. I'm not in the back rooms where they cut these deals, try to sneak them by the people. And that's wrong. You don't sneak this stuff by the people. And whether or not he agree with what the people are thinking about this fast-track trade deal, he should follow what the people want. If the people don't want it, no matter how he thinks it might be a good deal, if the people don't want it, don't go with it. The people put him in office. If the people don't want it, don't go with it. Because there's a litany of negativity about this bill. Listen to this. It outsources jobs. That means it takes jobs from the United States and overseas. It undercuts workers' rights. Basically, it says that it busts unions. Okay? Dismantled labor, environmental, health, and food safety, and financial laws. Wow, this is really bad if this stuff is true. Okay? It allows corporations to challenge our laws in the international tribunals rather than our own court system. So this is bad. Obama's fighting it. But we've got one champion on this. We've got Elizabeth Warren. She is taking this to the president. And the president has nothing else to do but to respond to this, because what Elizabeth Warren is saying about this is resonating throughout the country. And that's why people are protesting. They're up in airs over this. That's why people are protesting and they're up in airs over this. This is not a good deal. I mean, if it's working against middle class, if it's working against poor and those who are struggling to make a living, it's not a good thing. But yet he wants to convince us that it is a good thing. You know, so we just have to stay tuned for that. Okay? This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for being there. Thank you. And it's still a great day out here. it's still a great day out here. If you want to call in, my call-in number 347-857-1762. The guest line, you can call in, and or you can just sit back and listen, take it all in, and podcast the show for later, you know, download it, archive it. You'll have it forever, you know. It that's the way it is. Okay, all right. George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. Google. You go there, I'm there. All right, here we go. Okay, I see we have a caller on the line. I believe it's my guest. Let me just check this out. Here I come. Boom, 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 boom. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, George. This is Gary.
Yeah, I figured it was. Dr. Gary Webb, okay? You're an author.
Yes.
Okay, let me read something before I actually bring you on into the show, your bio. Okay,
all
here
right.
We go. Dr. Gary Webb has filled his life with a variety of opportunities for personal growth and enrichment of others. He's a graduate of 4 universities and seminaries. He retired from service in the United States Navy and from a full-time pastoral ministry. In those roles, he counseled with hundreds of people concerning personal finances and substance abuse, marriage and parenting, guidance with spiritual growth. Okay, let me read a review of the book, which is Prepare, Promote, and Publish. Okay, this is a review of the book, 5-star review. Dr. Gary Webb brings his impressive real-world credentials to this book, and it shows aspiring and experienced authors alike will benefit from his straight talk approach. In this first series of 3 guides, Dr. Webb shares little known tips and techniques he has developed that will help ensure a more successful book launch. At the same time, he reveals pitfalls and rookie mistakes that can lead to disappointing results. Go ahead, Doctor. Sounds impressive. Sounds great.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Okay. Maybe you can enlighten us a little bit more.
Well, I can. I can tell you a little bit as far as at least this one particular book. I've written several, but this one, I'd finally gotten to that point where I felt like that maybe there were some things that I could do to help some others who are just beginning to write. And especially one of the things that just seems so frustrating for many people is they'll spend a long time writing a book, pouring their heart out, doing the best that they can to share something that they believe is important, and then that book goes nowhere. It's not selling. Mm-hmm. No one's reading it. And that means at least that's probably the last book that person will write because it'll be so discouraging. But this book that I've written here, and in fact this whole series of books, is really geared toward helping people who are writing to produce the kinds of books that people really want, people really need in their lives. They're answering questions, answering needs that they have. And so that was my original motivation as far as writing this particular book. Did you have some particular questions that you had that came to mind as you were looking through some of this?
Yeah, but I just wanted to, you know, let you talk a little bit about it before I got into those questions.
Okay. Well, I can share a little bit about some of the things that are in the book that might tips that would be useful for some of your listeners right now. First of all, this particular book is that beginning, so just actually writing the book. The next book, which will be out really within just a few days, the next book will be about publishing it, about actually getting it into print, online at Amazon. Mm. And then the third one will be about promoting it, basically the marketing kind of a process. And in this book, this is really where sales starts, is you've got to write a good quality book. You have to write with the reader in mind from the very beginning. Before that first word is written, you need to know who you're writing to. And when you do that and you can kind of visualize that person on the other end, it almost changes it over, almost like you're writing a letter to a friend. You're trying to be a real help to them. And so what I do in the book is I help them to be able to identify the kinds of materials that would be available, where to find more, how to organize what they do gather, and arrange it in a process that makes them productive as a writer. But also I have a more or less a formula approach that gives a little structure. A beginning writer, especially a nonfiction writer who's trying to, maybe he's doing a self-help book or he's doing a book, a how-to type book, they need some sort of structure to be able to hold the interest of their readers, some kind of a formula, so to speak, so that they know what material to put in what order. And so I try to provide that as well. So far, by the way, the book has done very, surprisingly to me, very well. I didn't realize how many people have that need. It becomes an example, really, of everything that I have to say in the book, because it's been number one in its category now most of the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's a great book. I've read it. It's well written, well formatted. The cover is just, it's a standout book. And I think the content of the book is you provide a lot of insights, a lot of knowledge, and a lot of how-to in the book. Okay.
Thank you.
No problem. You've written a lot of books. Okay, what made you choose this one to talk about?
Well, most recent one that's already out. I do have that.
Okay.
The next in the series will be out on May the 2nd, will be my promotion of it. And the book itself, even right now, I'm selling it at 99 cents. Let's face it, people don't have much to lose right there. And when the new one comes out, it's going to be 99 cents as well, at least for a while. And so that allows the option for people to be able to get hold of it without having to pay out a fortune. And I want to make a difference that way. This book, I know a lot of people who feel like they've got a book inside them. You know, there are lots of people who have a story to tell, if nothing else. There have an area, a hobby. Maybe they're really interested in a particular hobby. And it'd be really great if they could put that down on paper or put it into their computer so that it can go online and they can share their thoughts and share their experience with other people. So that's why I feel like this book really is important. I have others that I've got a 40-day devotional. And it's a kind of an odd one because it's really written out of a framework of people being addicted to some really destructive habits and you know, how to get free from some of those things. I've got another one I got two others that are about losing weight. I've got one about getting out of debt. All of them are geared toward trying to meet a real world need that people have.
Yeah. Okay. There's quite a few books out there similar to yours. Why should someone buy this one?
Well, I think the simplicity of the book is one thing. I don't have in it everything that I know about publishing. Or writing. I don't have it that way. I don't intend for it to be all of that. I'm going to be sharing some of those things in the future in other formats, but particularly geared to be so simple that someone can pick it up and just go through it and learn from it and apply it, even if they have no prior background whatsoever. And I know that it's not the only book of the kind, for that matter. There's some others. In fact, I've got some friends who have written books that have been very helpful to me. But at the same time, I felt like that my experience, a lot of it is so fresh, because I haven't been writing a long, long time. I have written a number of books in relatively short order, but that being the case, a lot of the questions I had are still kind of fresh in my mind. Some of the first struggles that I had in terms of trying to form up and deliver a book, they're kind of clear to me, you know, whereas I think someone who maybe they've got 50 books that they have written, a lot of their original questions have kind of faded away. They've forgotten what those are, and they're answering the questions that only advanced writers even have anymore. So I'm writing particularly for the beginner.
Okay. Do you think that this book should be a part of every home library, especially of writers and writers of fiction and nonfiction? Do you think this book should be a part of
every
library?
Not necessarily every home particularly, but I do think that if once someone has that sense, that recognition that I want to write, I really want to do this, and they're kind of struggling, well, where do I get started? How do I get started? How do I find out what to write? How do I find out the kinds of people that I would be writing to? How do I put it together? The how-to type questions is really a lot of what this book is trying to accomplish. And so for people who have the desire but don't have the experience and don't have the training, don't have the background, this is a great starting point. It really is.
Do you feel that you're on a mission to help those out there who are trying to gain knowledge through prepare, promote, and publish?
Sure. If I didn't feel like that there's some, you know, there's a better purpose, there's a greater thing, then it wouldn't be worth my effort, because that's one of the things about it. I really believed that the book would do fairly well, or I wouldn't have written it. I've been a little bit surprised at how many, you know, did find an interest there. And you can't estimate that completely in advance. But I do feel like that there is a sense of purpose behind every book that you really stick with anyway. And so I really do feel like that's, I've got a train going by. I can hear it, but
I can really hear it. Yeah. Were you on the metro?
No, actually, I am on the side of the road parked. I'm traveling, so I had you on my schedule, and so I stopped. Oh. Didn't want to miss out on the chance to be able to talk with you. We hadn't talked before.
I'm going to get this interview over with, because I don't want you to get, you know, sideswiped or anything.
Oh, no, there's not a problem. I'm clear of the road that way. But I do feel like...
No. Do you have an excerpt that you would like to read?
I don't have the book with me because I'm traveling. But one of the definite statements in there that I'll repeat it again. I already said it, but before you write your first word, you should know who you're writing it for. Before you put it down, that very first word, the first sentence that you're trying to shape your book around, before you do that, you need to answer that question. What kind of person out there needs this? Who will it benefit? What kind of person is it going to help? Because this type of book and most of the nonfiction types of books are really geared toward providing information that the writer believes is important, but also believes that others can benefit from. And so that is what's behind mine. Now, I have not done, so far I have not done any fiction writing at all, and this book is geared for nonfiction writers. But, you know, one of the remarkable things that is happening, you know, in the publishing scene to me now is I believe there are getting to be more fiction books that are kind of backdoor. They're almost sneaking information to people. They're creative ways of helping people find solutions.
Yeah, I'm one of those writers.
Like
every time, I'm one of those writers. I mean, I basically do fiction, but every one of my writings of fiction, there's always something in there that's nonfiction. You know, the whole book is not quite fiction, but there's something in there that people can learn. People can, you know, there's some knowledge that can be gained from that book, even though it's fiction.
Right. Well, when I was growing up, I remember watching television. There was a program called Dragnet, and in that show, it would always say the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of fiction, there is a true story behind this one. It's just that the names and the places and so forth, they have been changed. And in a way, what's happened is that inside that author's heart and mind, they have painted a picture of their experiences and their imagination over time as it applies to the life that they've been through a lot of the times, or that they have the challenges that they have faced and the answers that they've found are included in there. And so I think at some point I will probably also venture out and do some of the fiction writing with that kind of a thought in mind, that I still want to do the same thing about helping people to find the answers that they're needing. So it'll take different forms. I noticed, by the way, on the Facebook, I noticed behind you there was a guitar. And if you think, there's a lot in music even where there are answers. And what really is captivating to people about the best of music anyway is the fact that it touches the issues of life. It touches their heart, the struggles that they're having, and it provides at least some encouragement and some hope that there's going to be better days, or there's going to, you know, it does something that way that touches their heartstrings. And I imagine
I think that this book should be a part of every library. Every library where in a home a person wants to write, you know, even if it's a simple essay. I think this book is just so powerful. It's so informative. I mean, it's a great book. There's, like I said before, there's a lot of books out here that's similar to it. But this book gets right to the point from the cover, because it's saying prepare, promote, and publish. It's giving you three, you know, the big three. You know.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, this next one that's coming out soon, I'll be honest with it. I really struggle with this one, because even though the things that were involved, it is such detailed step by step. But you had to give it the detail in order to try to solve the needs that people have, because the problems that they run into when they're trying to upload a book onto Kindle Direct Publishing or onto CreateSpace or wherever, they're detailed kinds of issues. And so here I was, I felt throughout the whole time, I felt like I was bogged down. And then I had some people, you know, some of my friends and so forth who are authors, I had them reading it, and they were coming back, oh, man, this is great. You know, I needed this. You've got tips in here. Yeah. I didn't know that. And I thought, well, you know. And, of course, any book that I write, that's one of the things that I like about the digital format of books instead of the paper, is the fact that I can revise it over and over and over easily.
That's a good deal.
Whenever I see something, even minor, you know, that I wish there had been a comma somewhere that I didn't put one, but especially I'm always finding out new ideas and new information. This gives me an opportunity to go back to that same book, make a little change, and especially for those who subscribe, you know, to my newsletter, things like that, what I can do is I can let them know that there's been an update there. And I try to put out the word as far as new things I'm learning. I do that on Facebook, and I do that in other places. But I want to share. I want to share what I'm learning along the way, because it really does make a difference. And I get the opportunity, too. People will email me and ask me questions. And so it makes you almost feel like a mentor. And that's really
this is one of the. Oh, yeah. When you're feeling like a mentor, that makes you feel really, really proud. This is one of the best nonfiction self-help books around. Did you anticipate it to be as successful as it has become or will become?
Well, not at all. I thought it would be kind of a limited slice of people. I don't think I was quite prepared for the fact that there are so many people, they've never written yet. Yeah. And they've always felt like it was out of reach. It was too difficult. So how do you get started? Where do you find stuff to put in there? And I think people also believe that once you sit down to write, you have to tell everything that you know about that subject. And that's not true. You know, it's there are other books, for one thing, that may answer the other questions. What are the ones that, you know, are most important, the most basic, the ones that you believe that your readers are going to want those answers? Put those down. And if it's a small book, that's one other thing that's very interesting to me is, and I didn't know it a few years ago, is the fact that you realize there are books out there that are only 5,000 words long. I had to write essays longer than that when I was in school.
Yeah.
But the thing is, those books are they're like a laser. They're focused on one issue and one issue only. And they answer that very well. And so there's readers that they're searching for that particular thing, and then they find a book that's all it deals with. It narrows it down. They don't have to wade through 5,000 pages of stuff to get their answer.
What do you tell writers who love to write? Writing is their passion, but somehow they just give up on it.
Well, of course, it's going to be in part. Why did they give up? You know, why did they give up? It could be.
Well, how would you motivate them to keep going?
Okay, the biggest thing, it goes kind of back to that first thing, is it's not about you. It's not about becoming some kind of celebrity. Yes, I've had some bestsellers type situations that have happened as far as my situation, but that wasn't the goal in the first place. You need to remember the reader. It's about the readers. And whether it's a whole lot of them or just a few of them, you're writing for their benefit. And if it may start, in fact, that you only benefit a few at first, but the ones who really get some help from you are likely to tell others about it. And when they do, you've got a plan of maybe having a positive effect on others. You know, if they can, I think every writer, you are there. You know what it is to be in the zone, to be in that time where it's easy, where the words are just flowing, the ideas are just flowing, and you're excited and you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
It's just very, very wonderful. It's one of the best feelings that you can have. To have that moment is great, but you don't have it all the time. You can't have that every moment of every day. Sometimes writing is work. Sometimes writing is just work. Yeah. But the point is, if you keep writing, if you stay at it day after day after day after day, some of the stuff that you write during those drudgery moments, sure, you may throw that away. Actually, you better not.
To me, writing, for me to keep writing, page after page, putting it, on the computer word processor. Writing has to be fun. So for me, I have to enjoy it. I have to say, wow, this is great what I'm putting down here. Typing. And I read it. And I said, this is great. It has to be fun. I have to enjoy it, enjoy what I'm doing. If it's drudgery, if it's work, then I may not get that many pages that day.
Right. Well, see, the thing is, you don't have to write a huge amount every day, but you should write something every day.
Right.
And part of that is the fact that you don't know which day you're going to be in the zone. You don't know when the day is where it's going to explode on you and be so easy and so joyful. You don't know when that day's going to be. So it could be today, so let's do it today. And then it could be tomorrow, so let's do it. So you may start writing, and you may not accomplish a whole lot, or you may put down a pretty good number of words, and then you just get to the point where you're saying, "Well, I'm kind of swimming upstream. I might as well take a break." And the break may go until the next day.
Your phone is breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello.
Hello?
Phone's breaking up.
I'm still here. Okay.
Tell listeners where they can. Hello, I'm here. I think it's your phone.
I'm here too.
Okay. Can you tell listeners where they can find your book?
All right. The best place for them is just to go on Amazon and mm-hmm. type in my name, Gary Webb, mm-hmm. and then put prepare, mm-hmm. publish, promote. If they type that in the
okay.
search block, what they'll find, the first one that'll come up will be the first book, and then the next thing that comes up will be the book two, which is coming out shortly. It's already in a pre-order status.
So prepare, promote, and publish is just 99 cents available
prepare,
on Amazon.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's prepare, publish,
okay.
promote. Book one.
Hey, that's and book one. Okay. All righty. And book one, does it work straight with book two and book three, or are they standalone?
They can stand alone in the sense that book one is about the mm-hmm. preparing. Book two mm-hmm. is the publishing part, and then book three will be the promoting. So there's those three words that are in the title of each one really is it goes in
Don't
sequence
know.
That way. But you could if,
okay,
if what you wanted, I have a lot of people for that matter who I know they really haven't gotten book one. They may not get book two, but they're excited about the possibilities as far as book three, because I've shared little ideas to help them mm-hmm. and they're wanting to see everything all together in one single book.
Prepare is a book, promote is a book, and publish is a book. So that's like
books. There are three books. They all have prepare, publish, and promote on the cover, and it'll say book
uh-huh.
one, two, three. You'll see when you see the cover, say like in the first one, it'll have prepare will be in bright red. Then the second mm-hmm. one will have publish in bright red. And then the third one will have promote in bright red. So it's a little bit confusing. I didn't intend it to be, but I think it's a little confusing that way. But it's intended to hold it together with the fact that this really mm-hmm. is a series.
When you look at the book and it says prepare, promote, and publish, you would think all of that is condensed inside of that one book.
You could get that, except for the subtitles, and that first one says producing mm-hmm. books for growing sales. And the second one says
okay.
publishing
right.
books for growing sales. Third one
okay.
is promoting okay. books for growing sales. So the subtitle helps it a little bit that way. You're right. I wish I had done differently, but that's hindsight now.
Well, that's okay.
And
it's fine. I was just trying to understand so the listeners can understand. I was just trying to understand.
Right.
Okay, we're just about out of time. Is there anything else you would like to add about this book before we're off the air?
Well, just the fact that I've enjoyed the responses and the questions that people are having.
Mm-hmm.
If someone does get the book and they're in the process of writing and they have questions about what they need to do next or something, it benefits me to try to answer the questions as best
that I
can.
All right, that's great.
And so as far as I'm concerned, I'm very pleased. They can email me or contact me on Facebook, and I'll be glad to try to answer their questions and try to be able to help them make that next step, wherever they are in their process.
Hey, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful. Dr. Gary Webb, thanks for being on the show. And I hope this book is just is a bestseller. It sounds like it is. I'm pretty sure a lot of people have bought it already because I have. I downloaded it into my Kindle. onto my Kindle. So, hey, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you, George.
Thanks a lot for
it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Sorry for the dead air. That was author Gary Webb. He was on my show today. His book, Prepare, Promote, and Publish. If you want to be a writer, if you want to be a great writer, pick up his book. It's a great book. It's only 99 cents. It's available at Amazon.com. Just type his name in, Dr. Gary Webb, and your book will come up. He's got a lot of stuff, too. So he's a very, very busy guy. We didn't talk about anything medical or, anything you know, how to reduce high blood pressure or stuff like that, something I could have probably used. Anyway, it was great. It was wonderful. Thank you, doctor. Thank you, doctor. Thank you, doctor, for your insight. Thank you for the book. Thank you for helping people who want to write and want to be writers and want to get published. It's easy to write. You have to prepare, publish, and promote. Everything he said was on the money, and I thank him for being on the show. I thank you for listening. I thank you. Keep listening because I got 30 more minutes left into the show, so don't go away. Stay right there. I'm going to take a break. I will be right back. Let's see what we got here. Here we go. Bing, 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 bing. Another great show has come to an end. Oh, we're not ending yet, so I hit the wrong button. Hey everyone, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm on the Wilder Network. You miss a show here, you miss quite a lot. We always try to have a great show for you, always wonderful and knowledgeable guests right here whenever I can get them. And even if I'm flying solo, this show is always fun, it's always exciting, and it's always informative. Once again, welcome to the show. Grab your family, grab your friends, sit back and relax, and let me do all the work. Once again, welcome to the show. Have fun, everyone. And that also is for that applause is for Dr. Gary Webb. He was a great guest, a wonderful guest. Maybe he can be back on the show at some point in the future. We will check that out. Anyway, this is George Wilder Jr. broadcasting live from Chicago, Illinois, and it looks like it's pretty gray outside, but it's not raining. It's just a little gray. But yeah, you ever had one of those gray days where if it's gray outside and you are kind of gray on the inside, you're feeling gray because the day is gray? That happens. It happens. But you know what? People have to go to work. People have to go to school. And, you know, you get out there and you do what you have to do in this weather. But let's just hope it's not as bad as the weather people say it's going to be. But you never know. But if it is, make sure you prepare for it and keep yourself safe. Okay, I'm going to take another break here, and I'll be right back. I'm back. Thank you very much. Thank you for being there. Thank you for podcasting the show, downloading the show, archiving the show, because this is a great show, believe me. I'm going to be up there with the big boys. Or I may be a big boy already. Who knows? But I love the radio show. I love being a host. I love having guests on the show. Each guest give their own, you know, their own side, their own experience, their own perspective on writing. Not every guest will say the same thing as a future guest or a past guest or a current guest, for that matter. You know, they're all different. I'm also a writer. And no writer is the same. No author is the same. We go at our craft from different directions. And I learn something, too, when I have authors on the show, writers on the show, and they explain how they come up with their interpretation of getting their work down on paper and getting it. I don't know. Somehow I feel like promote should be last and publish should be in the middle. But that's just me. We come at it from a different angle. Okay, some of the things, like I said before, some of the things I have authors on the show to say, and I mean, you know, I try not to, when I interview an author, I try not to ask the same question, but sometimes I'll sneak this a similar question in there that I might have asked another author from 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, you know, because even if I ask the author the same question, another author is going to answer it differently. Right. That's correct. I mean, one single question you can ask three authors, and each one of them answer that question differently. And that's what I like, getting their perspective on how they come to their craft. Because I come to my craft differently. I mean, he's right about one thing. I don't think you have to write 2 or 3 pages a day. You know, if you're a writer, I think you write something, you get something down. Even if it's a paragraph or 2 sentences, you write something. You put something there. And there is a such thing as writer's block. You know, I get it sometimes. I don't get it as much as some other people get it. But the way I handle writer's block, I exercise. I try to do a few exercises, you know, before I begin my writing venture, and that helps a lot. Try to reduce some of that stress before you sit down at that computer. And then after so many words or so many paragraphs or so many pages that I produce, I'll get up and I'll walk back and forth, I'll exercise, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, it'll kind of flow for me. It'll flow for me. And I just be, I can't stop. It's nonstop, you know. But there's some days it's slow. It trickles out. The ideas trickles out. Then there's time when, like I said, ideas just flow out. And everybody approach writing differently. You know, that's why I have writers on the show, because I know this author is different when it comes to getting their craft down than the other author was. And just because people answer questions differently does not make them wrong or they're doing it the wrong way. That's not true. That should never be thought of. That should never be, you know, exercised in any form, you know, because an author answers a question differently from the other author, you know, we just go at it from different directions and we come up with a positive outcome, you know, and that's how it goes, you know. So I thank Gary Webb and I thank all the other authors that I've had on the show that gave their perspective of how they approach their like I said before, craft, okay? They're craft. So thank you. thank you. And we're just moving right along. My clock says 7:09. I believe it's around 47 or 48 degrees where I am. I'm living near the lake. I'm broadcasting live from my studio in Chicago. If you're out there, you want to call, ask a question. If you want to just sit back, podcast, archive the show for later, you can do that. But if you decide to call in, my number is 347-857-1762. George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. And everybody, follow me. Hey, everyone. This is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic, like I said before, like I always say, no topic is off limits. Talk about anything you want to talk about within reason. Hey, I love what I'm doing. I love that you're there. I want you to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Google, my website. I'm all over the place. Glad you're here enjoying the show along with me. Just follow me. Hey, everyone. Someone turn it down. Turn it down. There we go. It's a bit loud. Anyway, I want to move on. I got other topics I want to talk about and everything. I've already talked about put the guns down. Be aware of your surroundings. Lock your doors. Don't open your door unless you know who's behind it. If you don't know them, don't open it. Never let anyone inside that you don't know. Carry protection if you can. I'm not saying go out there locked and loaded, but carry protection, be aware of your surroundings, watch out for the bad guys. Smart quiz question, what are two rights that every living person in America have at this moment? We will get to that question, we will get to have the answer. If you don't, go to your computer, look it up, whatever, but it's no big deal. I try to have a smart quiz question every day on the show because I think it makes the show a little bit more relevant, I hope. Anyway, it's 7:11 Chicago time. I'm on live. This is great. This is Friday the 24th, 2015. And this is my 68th show. It says episode 66, but it's the 68th episode. Okay, so that's a error that I'm going to have to correct. So let's move right along. And I was looking at this on my screen. It says five countries that hate America the most. The five most countries that hate America. I'm pretty sure there's more than just five, you know. But these are the top five, I guess. Number one is Pakistan. They hate America. Number two is Lebanon. They hate America. Number three is Belarus. They hate America. Pakistanian territories. They hate America. Number five, Russia. No, that's kind of not that much news. But anyway, five countries that hate America the most. These are they're at the top. There's a lot of countries out there that hate America. And sometimes I think America hates America. And because you got people leaving America going to join ISIS and other terrorist groups overseas. That's rotten. And you got to say, well, America's hating America from the inside. So, and a lot of times when people go over to these kind of countries, Americans go over to these kind of countries for whatever reasons, they have to watch themselves because they can, you know, these people hate America, so you're going to be kidnapped or beheaded or burned alive. You have to, even though you're going to these countries to help, like Syria, Iran, Iraq, these people hate America, maybe not as much as these top five. But they do hate America. So, and a lot of times when Americans go over to these countries, most of the time Americans, when they go to these countries, they're going over to help people, you know, with medical facilities, housing, education. They're going over here to help people. But then they wind up getting kidnapped or killed. But, however, they know from the start what they may have to deal with when they get over there. So they know they can be kidnapped. They know they could be killed. But they still have this devotion to help others in these third and fourth world countries. And most of these third world countries are filled with dictators, thugs, terrorists, gun-toting fools, you know. So they know what to expect when they go to these countries. So if you hear about someone in jail or locked up or been kidnapped for 2 or 3 years, they know from the get-go that that could have happened before they even went, but they decided to go anyway. Okay, and Obama's trying to do something about it. He's saying that a lot of the families are saying that they want their loved ones home. But Obama keeps saying that he doesn't negotiate with terrorists. I thought he did it one time. Okay, he said he doesn't negotiate with terrorists, but I don't know. You know, I think I've seen him negotiate with a terrorist, you know, when they had that exchange, remember? Okay, all right. Rauner, let's talk about Bruce Rauner. He's out with his knife again, and this time he has help. He has the Democratic legislature in Springfield. They are getting together, and they are cutting. Rauner he's calling it a shakeup of Springfield, a shakeup of Illinois, a turnaround agenda or something like that. And he's cutting. And they are agreeing with him, so they're not stopping him and all that kind of stuff. So Illinois is in trouble. They're going to cut. He's going to keep cutting. Every time he cuts these programs, he looks so passionate. He looks so caring. But he is a devil in disguise because he's putting people on the street. He's cutting the programs. He's cutting needed and vital programs. You know, he's cutting programs for autism, programs for children. I mean, this is crazy. He's cutting programs from the most vulnerable. Education, you can forget it. I mean, there's nothing this guy is going to not cut. And he looks so passionate, so nice, so wonderful, and he's not, you know, and he's always blaming Pat Quinn. Stop blaming Pat Quinn. Pat Quinn is not the mayor. Pat Quinn is not cutting these programs. You are. Every time he cut a program and he blames Pat Quinn for it, it makes him look indecisive, in my view. Stop blaming him. Are you cutting? It's your problem. You're the one doing it. Pat Quinn is not doing it. He's not even in office anymore. Leave him alone. Pat Quinn said one thing, and I totally agree with him. If Illinois knew what Bruce Rauner was going to do with all these cuts, he would have never gotten voted in. I think even Rauner knew he would have never gotten voted in. If they would have known, because I didn't vote for him, okay? If they would have known that he was going to be doing all of this cutting that's hurting people, hurting families, hurting those with jobs, laying off people. Every time he cuts cut funding from a program or a job, someone gets on TV and says, well, I got to cut employees. I got to lay people off. I can't stay open long now. It's costing jobs. And every job he blames, this is because of Pat Quinn. Pat Quinn is not governor anymore. Pat Quinn doesn't have anything to do with him cutting these programs. He would have cut the programs if Pat Quinn was a A-list governor. He would have cut, because this is what Republicans are all about. Republicans are all about cutting. That's why they are called conservative. It means to conserve. It means to cut. And this guy, he's always touting Pat Quinn. He cut autism program, Pat Quinn. Disabilities for children, Pat Quinn. Other vital programs I could name. He's always blaming Pat Quinn. He's a Republican governor. He's busting unions. He's getting his way. He's getting his way in Springfield with the Democrats. With the Democratic legislature, he's getting his way. If he's getting his way there, if they're letting him have his way, Illinois is screwed for cuts. Not only cuts, but eliminations. Some programs are going to be cut completely out. Rauner is the hero on the white horse. He's coming to Illinois to change things. Turn everything around. All right, like I said before, the only reason why this guy is in office is because people did not get their butts out there and vote. And when you don't vote, that's a vote for a Republican. Or either they voted, but they voted the wrong way. And now their Social Security, their pensions are in jeopardy. And they're scared. You got people all over the Illinois who are on these programs, who are facing these cuts, they're scared. The elderly, the seniors, they're scared. Meals on Wheels, they are afraid. But the seniors are probably, I'm pretty sure, are the ones who voted for this guy. Just like there are so many seniors who are watching Fox News. You know, I mean, this is crazy. He's cutting, and then he's going around the state and talking to people like he's so compassionate, like he cares so much. He says he's going to look for other revenue and try to offset some of those cuts. You want to bet? Do you want to bet? Only thing I can say is that Illinois was not in that bad of a shape with Pat Quinn as governor. But it's going to be in really horrible shape until people get up off their butts, up off their couch, go down here to Springfield and just, I mean, he's like the other Republicans. They're heartless. They don't care. He said at one time he doesn't care if he's voted back into office again. He's going to do what he can. He's a puppet just like Scott Walker of Wisconsin is a puppet. These people are rich. I'm pretty sure he's talking to the Koch brothers, and they're telling him, go ahead and do it, do it, do it, do it. The reason why they're doing this to the poor, because the poor cannot contribute to their campaigns. I've said this before in other shows. The poor cannot contribute the big money to these Republican campaigns like their rich donors can. They care nothing about the poor. They care nothing about the middle class. And the poor and the middle class and the people who are struggling, we make this country. This country is made. The billionaires and the millionaires, they control everything. And the corporations, they control everything. There's no doubt about that. But the poor, the middle class, the grassroots people, we build this company. We construct it. While the rich sit back and pocket money. They hide their money. They hide their millions and billions overseas so they don't have to pay taxes. That guy over there is making $8 an hour pay more taxes than a billionaire or 10 billionaires. Because they're hiding their money in offshore accounts. This is why people are saying that the rich people should be taxed more. But Obama can't seem to get that done. Republicans ain't going to have it. Because the rich people give to their campaigns. The rich people give them money to their campaigns. The poor don't give them anything because the poor doesn't have anything to give. That's why they don't give a damn about the poor. That's one of the reasons why they don't give a damn. And most Republicans think that the poor people are just deadbeats. They're on food stamps. They're getting something for nothing. Some of them are. I have to admit, some of them are, but most of them are not. Most of them are in need. They're legitimately in need. And with the cuts that's coming or that's looming for some people, and this is every agency, although the state has bills it has to pay, okay? And to starve people, to put people out in the street, to cause people to be unemployed, it's just not American. It's not American. It's hard. In the city of Chicago, I've said this before in other shows, it's expensive in this town. And it's getting even more expensive as the day go on. It's expensive. I mean, you cannot live in Chicago. You know, unless you have a good paying job. Or you're going to be, if you don't have a good paying job, you're going to be sleeping in that alley back there. And they're going to come throw you out of there. Then you can't go to jail because the jails are too crowded. They don't want you there. You know, so it's rough. It's a bad time for cuts. It's a bad time for funding cuts. But they're coming. They're here. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing anybody can do. We thought we had the legislature on our side, but apparently they took sides with, you know, Bruce Rauner. And the only thing that's going to get these cuts restored are people. The people is going to have to do this. You can't trust these low-down legislators or lawmakers to do anything, whether Republican or Democrat. That's why I'm an independent. That's why I'm an independent. But I do vote and I do pay taxes. So I have a right to say and speak my mind. Second Amendment. But it's awful. It is totally, totally awful. I see I only got about 3 more minutes into the show. My name is George Wilder Jr., broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm just about off the air. And it's been a beautiful day. It's a beautiful, wonderful time for me. I will be back on the air tomorrow, Saturday, 4/25/2015. And my guest will be Janetta Britt. This is her encore. She's been on the show before. I hope she's listening. That it's her time tomorrow. And she's a wonderful lady. She's a very sweet lady. I'm just about in love with her. And I've never met her. But she's so wonderful. And she's got a lot of writing out there. She's a best-selling author. She's a beautiful woman. And, you know, and she's just overall a good person. She'll be here tomorrow, and I hope you'll be here for that and to hear her insights. This is her second time on the show, so I'm pretty sure she's going to have a lot of insight into being a writer, being published, and to talk about her work in general. So we'll look for that, and I hope you'll be here to support her just by listening. She has lots of friends. She's a Facebook friend of mine, and I love that. Janetta Britt. Best-selling author Janetta Britt on this show tomorrow starting at 6 p.m. I hope you be there. I hope you be there. This is a wonderful show. It's a wonderful time. I'm going to take a little break here. I'll be right back. Let me see what we got. Here we go. A little short one. Hi, everybody. This is George of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I just have some things I want to say to my audience. And positive things. I want to try to keep my audience positive, upbeat, and try to make this show a fun show as long as I can, you know, have it. Be on your way to being the best you can be. Be on your way to being the best person you can be. We all got to be the best person that we can be, because of being the best person that we can be, we can bring the best out in others. Also, be on your way. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right, it's time for that smart quiz question. Remember what I said? Remember? What are two rights that everyone living in the United States have? It's a two-part question, I believe. Anybody know? Does anybody know? Okay, the answer is to serve on a jury, vote in an election, federal election. Okay, all righty. Let me see. It could be freedom of expression. It could be freedom of speech. It could be freedom of assembly. It could be freedom of petition to the government. It could be freedom of worship. It could be the right to bear arms. Okay, the first two things I said, I was probably reading the wrong question. But anyway, what are two rights everyone living in the United States have? Freedom of expression, freedom of speech. Okay, we got that down. I made a little goof, but it's down there. So we talked about crime, the summer, protect yourself, put the guns down, spring. As always, this is the Wilder Network, and we had the great Dr. Gary Webb telling us how to prepare and promote and to publish our craft. I thank him for that. I really thank him for that. And this is the end of the show. So I will see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye. Hey, everyone. The show has come to an end. I want to thank all my listeners. Call us for their participation on this talk show. I'm on the air, this show, Block Talk Radio, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting at 6 p.m. Central Time, CDT, Chicago Time. Hey, until next time, so long, everyone. Bye.
Yeah.